We're supposed to act like our father. Amen? Sometimes I like my father. My wife says, oh, I'm going to get the bill. Sometimes my boys out like their father, and their wives say, you need to go out and come back in. But you know, God really wants us to be more like him with grace and mercy. Amen? Again, like I was telling you, did something a little different than I planned on doing today, and that was, how many has ever been beat up for not going to church? Show of hands. How many has been beat in the door? When I was younger, I did have a drug problem. My mama drugged me into Sunday school, drugged me into church. Amen. The biggest thing I hear today is, why do we even need church? Why? So I'm going to try to answer some questions. As a matter of fact, I've been working on this off and on for a few weeks. Matter of fact, every time I come up here and I'm doing sermons, I've been working on sermons. I work on them off and on. I know I've told you this before, not to be bragging or not to, just so you'll know that I just want to throw something together. Usually a Sunday morning sermon has between 20 and 40 hours worth of preparation in it. And you say, well, how can you do that and do everything else you do? That's why when you're sleeping, I'm working. Amen. So again, not to be bragging or you go, oh, poor pastor, because I love what I'm doing. It's cool. I'm not saying that begrudgingly or anything. I'm just saying is you don't just get things thrown together. It's something, but this morning it's thrown together. Okay, because it happened about as I was getting ready to leave to go to church, the Lord went, oop, there it is. I said, but Lord, I worked on the other one at 2 o'clock this morning. He said, yep, now do this one. I said, but Lord. And he said, are you going to listen to me? I said, yes, sir. He said, okay, do this one. I said, yes, sir. And like I said, I was even working on it right then while we were, they were doing the mime. So I'm telling you, the Lord is awesome. Praise God. Now, I will tell you this. There was a nun. This goes right along with what I'm going to preach this one. This nun, she ran out of gas, and she was about, I don't know, she was a good half a mile from the gas station. She ran out of gas, and so she walked to the gas station, and she said, sir, I'm out of gas. Can you please lend me a can? I don't have a can. Can you lend me a can so I can get some gas and carry it back to my car? And he said, man, we don't have any. The only one I had, I lent out. I don't have any for sale. So she said, not to be underminded, you know, she said, I got to be somewhere, so I know what to do. So she goes back to her car. She was a nurse, and she got her bedpan. She carried her bedpan to the gas station and filled it up. She goes back to her car, and she's pouring from the bedpan. She's pouring in her car the gas. A couple of guys who have been playing hooky from church that day come by, and they saw her pouring that bedpan in the car, and they said, if that car cranks, I'm going to church next week. Amen. God's good. All the time. God is good. Now, I want y'all to stand. You can turn. I've already got it up here for you, so I'm just, y'all just stand. Let me just read it for you. And if you want to, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25, so you can read along with me. I'm going to put it up here in a minute so you can see it. Why should we go to church? I'm going to tell you four important reasons why you go to church each week. Somebody said, why did you go every week? You know, why is it important that I go get my Sunday go to meeting clothes on and get my Sunday go to meeting attitude and go to church and sit there and try to stay awake, you know, or see who somebody's going to see what I'm wearing, whatever, you know. Brother Hayslip, he was from old school. And Brother Hayslip, I listen to him talk a lot. I heard Brother Hayslip, they go, people say, well, I'd go to church if it weren't for them hypocrites. And Brother Hayslip said, well, why don't you go and add one to the list? I said, that's how to win friends and influence people. And so then he calmed it down a little bit, and he said, okay. That's why I said, I would go to church, but there's all those hypocrites. And he said, well, I'd rather go to church with them than go to hell with them. Amen. That was a little better. Still, Brother Hayson, like I said, he's from old school. You know, he would tack you to the wall. So use tack, Brother Hayson. I am. I'm tacking to the wall. Amen. So here we go. Four important reasons we should commit to church each week. And it's not going to be, this isn't preachy. This hopefully is just going to be, and I didn't have time to make it nice and neat like I wanted to and put in PowerPoint. I mean, I just put the slides together right then. Okay, so I'm glad that I'm learning how to type faster. If you see any misspelling or mispronunciation, I did it. Matter of fact, I was making hundreds on all my papers, and I was very impressed. And I was letting Linda proofread all my papers. And so this one time, she was in bed asleep. I was working. I said, I need this thing to be going out tonight. So I'll just go ahead and send it. So I went ahead and sent it to come back, and I was just seeing all these hundreds. And she always said, I like your insight. I like the way you do things, blah, blah, blah. And this time she said, I like your insight, I like your paper, but you didn't follow instructions. You got an 84. And so I go back to letting my wife proofread. Amen. Matter of fact, we have a guy in Emmaus that went to PE1, the very first Emmaus. Matter of fact, I told him that he was so old, he knew Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John on a first name basis. He proofread the book of Mark before Mark put it out. Somebody told me he was actually the guy that had the 5 loaves and 2 fishes that Jesus used to feed the multitude. Okay, let's read it together. Hebrews 10, 23-25. Let us hold fast. Well, let's put it up here so you can look at it right here. I don't want to just do that. Okay. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. And that word assembling is where we get the word synagogue. And where we get the word synagogue, where synagogue is a place where you learn the word, you worship God, and you learn the word. And God knew what he was doing when he wrote this. I know some people say Paul wrote it. Some say Apollos wrote it. Some say Barnabas wrote the book of Hebrews. It don't matter who used the pen. I know who wrote it, the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so it's like somebody said, well, I could do better if I hadn't had those parents. I'm from my parents, or I'm from look, I'm not from my parents. I'm from God through my parents. Come on. I'm from God through my parents. I'm what God says. Amen. Amen. Y'all say that. I came through my parents. I'm from God. That's right. Y'all getting scared now because you think I'm gonna put the machine gun out here. Okay, get ready. No machine guns. They're all put up. Matter of fact, if this don't work, then we can blame God, because honestly, I really believe he told me this morning this after working till 2 o'clock in the morning on the other one. Okay, get ready. Now let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for all that you've said and done for us in your word. I thank you, God, that you are all-powerful, you're all-knowing. God, you know the beginning from the end from the beginning. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, Lord, to help us, God, to absorb your word each and every time we step into this church. Help us, God, to worship you each and every time we step into this church. And help us, God, to walk worthy of the calling that you've called us to, which is first to be your child. And secondly, not only to be your child, but to be part of the family. Lift up one another. Then thirdly, to go out into the world and bring them in. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy, that you never gave up on me, Lord. Even after I gave up on myself, you didn't give up on me. And I thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, give somebody a high five and then sit down. And say, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Amen. God is awesome. I wanted just to go through a couple of the translations just to show you how to kind of get a better idea of what this verse is saying. And most of the time when we preach this, we preach verse 25. When we talk about verse 25, forsake not the assembling of yourself together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching, meaning the day of Christ is coming. And so I even got into a discussion. I was with Brother Burton Friday, and Brother Burton said that there was a guy in his apartment building that was kind of mixed up on the last coming of Christ or the rapture, and he got talking about mid-trib. Y'all know that if there's a pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, a-trib, rapture. That's the theories. Pre-trib, before tribulation, before the 7 years. Mid-trib, 3.5 years. Post-trib, at the end of 7 years. A-trib, you never leave. You just go right into the millennial reign. So there's all this talk. But you know what? I still believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. I believe God's going to take us out of here. We're not going to have to suffer. I would not want my bride to suffer anything if she's going to come in the middle. I want her to come right up the aisle. Amen. and have a good time coming to me. Amen. Come on, baby. Let's go. Yeah. When I saw that woman back there coming up to me, up that thing. Of course, tonight, Brother Hasten, we didn't know Brother Hasten was getting ready to have a heart attack. And we already were cutting up during the rehearsal. And he finally said, and when he said, does anybody object? My father both stood up. Upon our directions, let me tell you that. My wife's saying your directions. Okay. Upon my directions. Okay. Okay, dear. I got that. Okay. So then he says, can y'all please calm down and get serious? And so I said, yes. And then Linda and her son came in, marching down the aisle. Instead of playing the march, it was on February 29th, Leap Day. So when they come marching down the aisle, they played Froggy when they played Meteorite. We had no idea when we went on honeymoon. We called Brother Hasip. He weren't home. Where's he at? He's in the hospital. He just had a heart procedure done. Linda said, I hope we didn't kill him with the wedding rehearsal. Amen. Okay. Okay. So now, here we go. Let's read these other way. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. Always keep his word. Remember, I'm bringing back three. If you want to understand the scripture, let me give you a hermeneutic principle. Hermeneutics is the science of biblical interpretation. Number one, you always interpret the word with the word. Always. You always interpret the word with the word. But you better know what you're looking for if you're going to interpret the word with the word. And so it's really important. And so if you're going to actually do a verse in context, you take a verse. If you're studying it, take one or two above and one or two below, and then take it and you'll have it in context. And then it'll help you understand that word. Well, so far, like this, I went back up three because it actually gives a better understanding of why you've got verse 25 when you look at verse 23 and 24. Let us keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. How many of God always keeps his word? Amen. And let us see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out each other. Not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. Jesus Christ is coming back. And so the Bible says that unless he come back when he did, the Bible said even the very elect would be deceived. Okay, so we're living in that day. You can turn on the television and you can flip. I think we got like 10 spiritual channels, plus we have other ones that have preachers come on during the day. And you can turn those 10 channels, and you can flip through them back to back to back to back to back, and you will get at least 6 or 7 different theological principles or theological ideas of what's going on. So you got to have a firm foundation. And what I do is, how many's ever eat bony fish? Croaker, spot, trout. If you eat a bony fish, what do you do? Yeah, sir? No, the heron. Oh yeah, the heron's really herons are definitely. Look, so what you do is that's right. And so you take it, and what you do is you chew, get the meat, and spit out the bones. Okay, you get the good stuff and spit out the bad stuff. Well, when you listen to all the stuff on television and stuff, even if you listen to me and us and or whoever's up here, and it's not really, you're saying, wait a minute, I'm not sure if I understand that or I believe that. You can come to me at any time and ask me, and I'll explain why. But at the same time, again. Like I tell people when they say, well, how can you listen to that guy or how can you listen to that guy or that woman or whoever talk about the word because you know that they have a lot of crazy mess. I go, yeah, but I eat the fish and spit out the bones. Okay? So no matter who they are, there's going to be something they're going to say in there could wind up being a blessing, and so I don't want to miss the blessing. And also, the Amplified Bible says, so let us siege. And hold fast. That means grab it. Grab it and hold on to it. And retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess our acknowledgement of it. For he who promised is reliable, sure, and faithful to his word. And let us consider and give attention, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up, stimulate insight to love and help others and noble activities. And then, not forsaking or neglecting the assembly together as believers, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. Now, see, back then they didn't have Facebook, they didn't have cell phones, they didn't even have telephones. And so that's good for us, but it's also dangerous. The reason it's good for us to have it is so we can communicate. the sad part and the bad part is sometimes we let that take the place of fellowship. Amen? I mean, it's like, you know, people come to church to fellowship. We come to church to fellowship. We come to church to share our faith. Excuse me. Also to share our problems. It's important that we gather together. So again, here it goes without being preachy. If you think this is preachy when I get going, if it gets preachy, just go. Watch this. Throw out a bone. Okay? But if you don't think it's preachy, just go. Okay? Let's get ready. Here we go. Number one. Well, not number one. Let me talk to you. Let me lead in the same. Reminiscing with a pastor friend. Matter of fact, I just went to Emmaus, saw a bunch of pastor friends, and saw a bunch of preachers and friends and people that are working in their church. And we noted the commitment to church seems to be at an all-time low. We seem to think it's only here. But you go somewhere else and you find out it's there. And then you go somewhere else and you find out it's there. And what you find out is, for the most part, church itself and attendance is at an all-time low. I know these mega churches are growing because people can come in and not be seen, come in, you know, get what they want, put a quarter in the slot, go back out, and everything's fine. Or they've got these big budgets and they can have all these ministries. But the local church, the local grassroots church, finds itself diminishing. And why is it diminishing? I don't say diminishing is gone, but it's not as full or as it has been in the past. And what I noticed is, and it seems that a lot of people today, and again, I'm not talking about you got to work. Used to, you didn't work on Sunday. Now you work on Sunday. I was a pastor working and had to work on Sunday, so I had to get somebody to fill in for me. I had one lady, preacher friend of mine, who was in the church. She was our first member. And I was working at Procter & Gamble, and they would come in sometimes. Something would break down just as I was getting ready to leave to go to church, and I'd have to take care of it. So I'd call her, and she says, let me know, and she would take care of it. When I was working at a fountain, there was times I'd have to ride by a fountain, take care of something on the way to church, and sometimes I couldn't even get to church, so I had to call somebody so they could be ready. So it's understandable. If you got to work on Sunday, it's all right. God knows you're working. Amen. Then sometimes it may be that you have land a vacation, and in that vacation you're part of that vacation time includes Sunday. That's understandable too. God understands these. God isn't sitting in heaven with a blowgun or a laser gun blowing you away if you're not here. But it didn't go to church Sunday. Pow. Pow. They didn't go either. Oh, he's running. I got him. Pow. No. God isn't doing that because we all sometimes were sick. You know, when I got sick, there was 3 Sundays I didn't even preach. You know, I couldn't even leave the house because they told me, said I was infectious, had temperatures of 104 constantly, and they said, do not leave the house. And I'm pretty sure y'all would appreciate me not coming here with a temperature of 104. Okay. So, that's understandable. But now, let's put aside sickness, work. We've got vacation, or put aside something else. Let's just put this one here. Well, I just don't think I'm going to go. Now something different. Okay? I just don't think I'm going to go. Nobody will miss me. Really. I have discovered as a pastor that usually when somebody has that in their mind, nobody will miss me. Nobody even understands me if I'm. Usually, they're not the only ones in the congregation thinking that because there's been a blanket thrown over. And when that blanket's thrown over, I find out sometimes, especially back years ago, I'd have 2 or 3 Sunday school teachers or ministry leaders or whatever all out at the same time. And they go, well, nobody noticed I'm not there. Get them to do it. Well, they're out too. Well, get them to do it. Well, they're out too. You know, that blanket gets thrown out. And guess who gets glory? I just say this, it's not God. And it's not you. So we'll just figure where that comes from. Remember, if you think I'm getting preachy, just go. Y'all quit that. Okay. Well, what I've seen is, and again, this was from this morning, okay? So you got to cut me a little slack, all right? I've been working on it, but This was just put together. There is a tragic shift nationwide. I've been watching this and paying close attention to this, that shows this exact same trend. People don't seem to be into God anymore. That's the trend. Into. What you into? I hear people talk, what you into? Well, you know what? I'm into God as long as God isn't into my affairs. I'm into God as long as he don't interfere with what I got planned. And I see a lot of people like that. And you know what? I hear this every time I go to Pitt Detention Center. You know, last night was really kind of odd because I went to Cheddar's. Anybody got any candy or something? I swallowed a bone. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, I'll spit out the bones. Thank you. Somebody. Okay, these are those things you take when you want to go to sleep, right? Okay. Okay, we got, oh, there you go. There's a lifesaver, all right. These allergies, praise God. They're not my allergies. They're not my allergies at all, but they keep trying to attack me. Amen. Okay. So I go into Cheddar's last night. I was in Greenville. That's where DC's at now. He's gone. His daughter's in the tournament in Greenville. And I'm there, and I go into Cheddar's to get Linda and I some supper. As I go in to get Linda and I some supper, I said, I want a takeout order. They said, well, then you need to go sit at the bar and order. I looked in there. There's other people sitting at the bar eating. I said, okay. So I sit at the bar, and these guys sit beside me, and they order drinks, and then I pull out my sermon and start working on it. And I noticed the drinks kept getting further and further. Okay, thank you. That'll be fine. It's yours. That's good. Yours is good. All right, I just took a shot. Anybody else want a shot? Yeah, I learned that at the bar last night. Yeah. And it was really cool because these guys had these drinks beside me. I pulled out my sermon that I worked on until 2 o'clock this morning. And I had it down. I was working on it, and I saw the drinks getting further and further and further away. Then the guy got his meal. He was cutting up and carrying on with the ball game. He was letting it rip. You look down and see my sermon, he started not ripping so much. All of a sudden, he got his meal. When he got his meal, he took off his cap, and he leaned down and went. And I was chuckling. I was chuckling. When he gets through, and I get ready to get up and walk away, I looked at him, and I said, looked at him and put my arm around him. I got to quit doing this sometimes. Somebody's going to hurt me sometime. I put my arm around him, and I said, God saw that. This part. I said, God saw that, and he was pleased. And I started to say the other stuff he threw out, but I didn't. I didn't like. Okay. All right. But you see, again, I hear all the time, serving God cramps my style. I'll pull God when it gets bad. And I hear people all the time say, well, why did bad things come? And the Bible says David got like that. And David said in Psalm 119, he said, once I got afflicted, when things started getting bad, it drew me back to his word. It drew me back. So I'm glad that I went through hard times because it got me back on track. So likewise, praise God. All right. So now people are clearly busier than ever, and that doesn't help the situation. How many here, honestly, and I'll raise my hand too, there's things that you cannot help, you have to do on Sunday. Amen. You have to. Every last one of us can raise our hands. There's things you got to do. So, again, don't think I'm in here beating you up over that. God knows that. Amen. So sometimes your ox is in the ditch. It's not, but see, God understands if your ox is in the ditch, but he doesn't understand if you put the corn down there the night before and bait the field. Okay? So here we go. Here we go. Here, I'm getting ready to get through this thing. I promise it's not going to be long. And other people have been hurt or disillusioned by churches or by religious folk. And so that's their reason that why they don't want to attend church so often. And so I would suggest there's four reasons. Four. I said four. Y'all help me out. Four reasons. Y'all say four. Four reasons why going to church is a big deal. A really big deal. Amen? So here it is, without being preachy. So why should I make that huge commitment to being in church on Sundays? Here we go. Number one, the local church. Watch this now. The local church is a central part of God's strategic plan for your spiritual growth. Not the 700 Club. Not TBN. The local church. Because the local church was here before there was a television. The local church was here before there was a radio ministry. The local church was here from the beginning, so to speak. I don't mean about Adam and Eve, but I'm talking about as Paul was setting up churches. You know, I've also often heard, you know, we don't need to go to church to be a Christian. No, going to church makes you a Christian about as much as going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. Or parking in the garage makes you a car. You know, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You've got to be born again of Jesus Christ, of his blood. You have to confess him. And that's how you are born again, okay, to be a Christian. So now, this is the important stuff here. Now watch carefully. Watch. Jesus said, so here we're going to talk about a technicality, okay? Y'all like technicalities? How many watched the NCAA basketball tournament? We saw a lot of technicalities, didn't we? We saw a lot of technical fouls. We saw a lot of things that I didn't think was right, but they forgot to call me and ask me what I thought. When those guys would get to them and start reviewing the film and looking at it, he forgot to call me and say, look, what do you think? I even wanted to send him my number, but, you know, they wouldn't even take it. Okay. I've been rejected by the referees, Coach K, and the IRS. Because I told the IRS, when I went to pay my tax bill this year, I asked the post office, can you please remove me from their mailing list? And she had the same reaction y'all just had. Okay. So on a slight technicality, yes, it's true. But at the same time, remember, it's God's plan. Jesus said on this rock, and this is his statement to Peter, after Peter said he was the Messiah, the Son of God, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not be standing against it. So you see, the church is Jesus' idea, not man's idea. Wow. How about that? Before there was a Baptist, before there was a Methodist, before there was a Lutheran, before there was a Catholic, before there was a Church of God, Church of Christ, Church of God in Christ, Church of God in Christ, in God, in the fire, and the power of the Holy Ghost coming down, saving everybody, all those big church names. Before all that, it was Jesus' plan to have a body of believers to pull together. When Peter was released out of prison, the angel let him out, and he went to Mark's house, his mother's house. What were they all doing? They were all gathered there in prayer because of all of the stuff that was going on around them. So if Jesus planned this, if it's his plan, then I want to be part of it. Amen? It's important. I want to be part of it. So because it's his plan, when a person says, I don't need the church, this is a departure from God's plan. And I really would advise, if it's part of his plan, do it. Amen? When I turned in that paper that night at 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock, whatever time it was, didn't want to wake my wife up to proofread it. I was trying to get it in there, and she said it was a lovely paper. She loved it. It was entertaining. But there was one problem. I didn't follow the plan. I left out part of the plan. Again, it would have been 100 if I'd have put. It was divided into five parts, five pages, five parts. If I'd have put just a little bit of sentence here, 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 and here, I'd have got 100. But because I didn't follow the plan, of course, I was so sleepy, I was wondering if I could even follow anything. Okay, so now here it goes. Number one, church is a central part of God's strategic plan for your spiritual growth. It is important. This is where we learn. This is where we gather. This is like the huddle. Before in the game, this is where we huddle. This is where we learn. This is where we faith is encouraged. You know, the Bible says, if two or three gather my name, so I'll be there. Can you imagine if one will chase 1,000, two will put 10,000 to flight? Can you imagine how many we can put to flight today? The devil. That's number one. Number two. Get ready. Here I'm going to see some bones coming out. You are basically a composite of the five people with who you spend the most time. I know I'm throwing some psychology. The psychology came from God because he invented our psyche. Let me do that again because I heard some giggles and I also heard some groans. Okay, and then I heard somebody giggle and groan. So here we go. You are basically a composite of the five people with whom you spend the most time. We are influenced by our friends and the people who we spend our time with. Did you know that? You know, I noticed my boys when they were coming up, and I did the same thing. They go to school, and I could watch how somebody handled themselves, how they stood, or how they did, you know, and then see DC and Danny hang with them for a couple weeks, and then see DC or Danny coming home standing like they're doing, you know. And then there was this one guy, honestly, we were trying to influence him because he had a rough life, he had a hard life, but his hair was way down in his eyes, and so you're trying to talk to him. But he kept my nerves racked up. Every time I talked to him, he goes, trying to keep his hair out of his eyes. I was thinking, dude, either get you a bobby pin, cut your hair, bobby pin, something. But you're talking to him, he's going. First couple times he did that, I kept looking over here. And I said, boys, I said, Daddy, he's a good guy. He just needs some encouragement. I said, well, fellas, encourage him. And so then we get home. One day, and Daniel's talking to me, and Daniel starts going. DC comes in. I said, fellas, who's encouraging who? You see, again, I can easily see how friends can influence young people, but they influence older people too. Amen? Again, it's who you spend your time with is going to be. So here we go. I've come to believe that basically a composite of the five people he spends time with is important. Therefore, we should choose the people well. You can pick your friends. You can't pick your family, but you can pick your friends. And then there's always, you've heard this, you can pick your friends and you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your friends' nose. There you go. Don't go. Woo! All right. So that's why it's so valuable for us to be in church. When we, of course, that says when the doors are open. That was then. You don't have to be here every time the doors are open. If you did, you'd be here every day. I'm talking about on Sunday. Okay. If you can, of course, if you're working or you've really got something you have to do, or you know, I might believe this. This is not a beat everybody down, tear them up. This is talking about when it's possible, then you need to be here. So watch, you know, when we're here, it draws us nearer, nearer to God. Praise God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So it's important. We need to support other believers if we're truly going to grow in Christ. And where do you get support at? Here. If I only see you when I'm at Walmart every 3 or 4 weeks, then I'm not even knowing anything about your life. I'm not even knowing anything what's going on. You know, it's like if you're not careful, things are going to church, you won't even know about it because you weren't there when it was told. You might have been there when it was told again. And so then I've even seen people get upset. Well, you didn't tell me. Oh, well, we put it on the bulletin board. We put it on this. We explained it. We told everybody. We took a list. But if you're not there, none of that. So again, and please, do y'all think I'm throwing out bones or meat? Okay, throwing out fish? Good fish. Good fish. Remember, this is not preaching. I just want you to think about it. Okay, this is just food for thought. Amen. Okay, so here we go. Number three. You need the voice of the church to counteract all the deception that's crammed into your mind all throughout the week. I mean, I hear stuff. I hear people misquoting the word. I hear so much junk. You know, you're around people with attitudes. And if you're not careful, you're around somebody with attitude, and you'll get an attitude. You've got to be careful. And so it's really important. Paul warns the believers in Colossians 2 and 8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. That's what happens to us every time we step out of those doors. You can be a hermit and still have to watch this. So you say, well, I can just do this. No. It's there. If you work, your co-workers, you're going to have to be around it. If you go into places, when I go into Pitt Detention Center, I hear some of the worst stuff you could ever imagine. I hear it. And some of those guys, in order to try to shut us down, will holler this stuff. How about Brother Benny? You ever been trying to talk, and all of a sudden you hear him hollering and carrying on and doing their stuff? Brother Frank, you ever hear that? We hear some rough stuff, don't we? Yeah, Brother Brandon, don't we? That's some good stuff. There's some bad stuff, some good stuff too. But they'll get in there to flush the toilets while we're in there. You know, keep flushing the toilet. They'll beat the doors, and they'll start cussing and carrying on, you know, because they don't want, not only do they not want to hear it, they don't want the other guy. See, the world, not only do they not want to hear this, they don't want you to hear it. Wow. So, if they can keep you out of here, you may not hear it. Wow. Let's just look at this in the Greek a little bit. You know, the word for cheat in this passage refers to kidnapping another person. Wow. It says, so here it is, it says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of men. So that word cheat literally means to kidnap another person. We need to be careful that we're not kidnapping. Apologies and wrong thinking. It's important. You know, I have no problem mixing in the world because that's what Jesus said for us to do. I have no problem with that. I have no problem getting where people are at that are not saved. I have no problem with that. Because we're called to be light in darkness. And you can't be light in darkness if all you are is light in light. You can't affect the world. The salt is no good, number one, if it's already lost its savor. The salt's also no good if it stays in the shaker. This is the shaker. We've got to get out. So please don't think I'm saying don't get out. Get out. Get out there and make a difference. Get out amongst the world. Let the world hear you, see you, and see that you're different. I want more people at work. I want so many people at work, not by this, but by this. Just how I work, how I walk, what I see. I'd have people come up to me literally and go, how do you do that? I remember at Fountain, I said, how do you do that? Because Fountain was actually, it was a very hostile environment because of the nature of the beast, racing season, selling boats, and there was a whole lot of attitudes there, especially during racing season. And so they would come to me and say, how do you keep such a cool head in this mess? And I'd always just go, Jesus. Or they go, how can you get around these guys talking like this? And you just smile. And then you say something profound or just say nothing at all, which is profound sometimes. And they go, hey, I want to honor him. I can't honor him I can honor him, but I can't honor him completely unless the salt gets out of the shaker. So I'm here. So now, again, be in the world, but don't be of the world. In other words, we are insulated, not isolated. Okay? Insulated, not isolated. All right. So now, the next word, the term traditions, refers to teaching. So do you realize that all these people you hear every week, I mean, the news, the media, music, coworkers, friends, family, you know, the list seems so unending. It's just as you hear these words, you hear this, you're in these attitudes, you know, and praise God. Did somebody wear Avon today? I'm playing. I saw somebody start going. I picked up my wife by Avon because my mom and grandma was coming up. Y'all remember the Avon lady come to the door? Yeah. And my grandmama, I remember her, she'd get the Avon lady there and they would spend time together and have a good old time laughing and joking and chuckling, and she'd order all this stuff and they'd be bringing her stuff. And I remember she didn't go to the mall to get her dress. She bought patterns and bought the stuff and carried it down to the lady on Highway 33 and she made all her clothes. You know, so I remember all those days. Well, the same way, that's why I pick on people like Avon. Avon's good. It's not a problem. Okay. So now, but just remember, all this stuff can, if you don't realize you're insulated. You know, I learned a long time ago that I couldn't keep my kids out of it because they were there. They had to go to school and this, that. I couldn't keep them out of it. And to keep them out of it would actually be terrible because then, number one, they wouldn't know how to brush up their influencing skills. They wouldn't know how to handle themselves in those kind of situations. And then when they got up by a certain age, they would kind of go kind of crazy on me because they had never been exposed to this stuff. And so I know I kept them exposed, but at the same time, I kept them exposed by reminding them you're insulated, not isolated. Insulated, not isolated. So now, again, with so many messages streaming in your life each week that can kidnap you and take you away from God, it's extremely critical that you spend as much time as church as possible. Get with your friends and with your family here in church. Now, one more. Has this been preachy or been educational? Okay. Who said preachy? Okay. Yes, preachy. I meant preachy as in it turns you away. This is good stuff. Well, there's still some toes. There's toes being stepped on, but they ain't saying anything. Okay? Because my toes get stepped on all the time when I'm working on a sermon, right? Now, get ready. Weekly ministry or weekly attendance, actually, what it does is it helps you build up your muscles, your spiritual muscles. It's important. In Ephesians 4, Paul says that we are all gifted in different ways, and we are to use our own particular gifts to serve within the church. It's like a body with many body parts that all work together for a common goal. Now, can you imagine? We're all part of the body. Can you imagine the ear trying to be the foot? I feel like Maxwell Smart too. Da, 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 da. Hey, chief, let me in. Can you imagine my foot trying to be the eye? All right. The same way. We're part of the body, and we're unique. Every last one of us are unique. Amen? The foot can't say, the eye, I don't need you. The eye can't say, the foot, I don't need you. The hand can't say to the arm, I don't need you. Everybody, we need everybody. But when we're in church, it actually helps build up our muscles. And Paul discusses this serving when he says in Ephesians 4:14, he says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of man and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. In other words, our spiritual gifts, actually your spiritual gifts increase with use, proper use. Now again, that word proper is there, proper use. You become a better witness in the world if you remember you're insulated, not isolated, and you step out and you learn to let stuff run off your back like water on a duck's back and make a difference in people's lives. Because I'd have people at Procter & Gamble, they would cuss me, and they had a nickname for me that was so, so discouraging. This nickname was terrible. I hated it. And it actually, if I weren't a Christian, it would aggravate me. But I was a Christian, and so it was kind of an insult. And they would call me this name, But then they would catch me when nobody was listening and looking and ask me my opinion about things. Could I pray for them? Or could I help them? And you're out by the people again. Here they go again, tearing me up. You're by myself with them. Can you help me? I'm having this problem with my family. So again, you know, as you begin to use your spiritual gifts, they sharpen. And so if you want to really, really build up your spiritual muscles, then come and learn. Learn about it. And don't be deceived to thinking that certain things they talk about is true according to God's word when it's not. So, actually, when we serve God and when we use, it's like I watched all those guys. Now I'm going to kind of tell them a little bit. I remember when we first, let's see, none of us were going to Pitt and Tenston. And we got a guy that had been there, and then he wound up being a minister there, came here, Danny Williams, and he got us going. He issued a challenge. And so Benny and I went, and then as time goes by, as time is going on, it keeps increasing. So now, at this time, there's me, Benny, Doug, Frank, Brandon, and Patrick. And if anybody's interested, we're needing some more, and you can be trained in the next few weeks, so you don't have to wait. But they need to go ahead and get your application in so they can go ahead and do a background check. And don't let it scare you, but they do have to do a background check because you're going to be ministering to some, all those people you see on television, on Channel 9, that says, and this guy killed 3 people and he's in Pitt Detention Center. You'll be seeing him. Okay? Sometimes I even hate to see the TV about it because I tell my wife, I just talk to him or, you know, whatever. Okay. But again, I remember when we first went, and Benny and I, when we first went, we were told it would be six trips before we'd ever be turned loose on our own. We're just going to sit and observe. And the very first trip, me and Benny going, and as we're walking, the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to think about John 14. And one, I said, okay, but we're not going to be talking. As we're around the corner to go into one of the B blocks, the man that's taking us through, Johnny, says, David, this is yours. And then Benny, that's yours. So then we got going together, and then they said, now we want you to go separately. So then we started going separately, then the other guys started getting on board. I do remember the night they asked me, would I be a deputy chaplain? Sister Boone was there, and we were all walking through the bus, the church bus, and she hollered, Brother David! Y'all remember? And I said, I wonder what the guys are with me, right? I said, I wonder what she wants. They were gone. That's the truth. They said tripping's legal. So they done gone to the bus, and I thought we were in trouble. They said, you got it now, son. I got there, and she asked me. But still, I watch how we keep developing and developing the same way as you let God use you. You learn here and take it out. Learn here and take it out. Learn here and take it out. On Tuesday nights, we've been talking about the grieving cycle. We've talked about all kinds of things, and I keep telling people, keep this paper because I'm making it detailed so you can use it to minister to other people. And I hear all the time people say, you know, I'm glad that we got that because I got a chance to use that this week. If you want to, we're doing some good stuff on Tuesday night. It's all counseling stuff. So come on, you'll enjoy it, and plus you'll get some ammunition to help people when you need it. But again, here we go. I'm gonna wrap it up. Okay, so here's the four reasons. Number one, why should I go to church? The local church is part of God's strategic plan for my spiritual growth. Number two, you're basically the composite of the five people you mainly hang around. Amen? I hang around Colonel Sanders. The Burger King. Okay. Number three, you need the voice of the church to counteract all the deception that you hear all during the week. Remember, you're insulated, not isolated. Number four, weekly ministry in a local church helps build your spiritual muscles. Now, again, I don't know who this was for. I know it helped me. I mean, it's always good to go back over and refresh things in your mind. You may not even think it was for you, but maybe before this day's over with or this week's over, somebody's going to ask you the same thing. Why go to church? And you go, I can give you four reasons. Amen? So now, let's all stand. Told you, those are down. BJ, can you come? Please come back next week. We're going to talk about the sycamine tree. It's going to be awesome. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You may be here today and you actually do not know Jesus as your personal Savior. Knowing Him as your Savior, once you say yes to Him, you are invited. You become part of a massive family of God. This family of God is awesome. It's varied. And when you step into this thing, you're going to bring your uniqueness to the table, and God's going to be able to use it in a mighty way. But if you don't know Him, it stays dormant. So right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, not going to make an example or not going to make you feel uncomfortable. If you're here right now and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, would you just, with nobody else looking around, would you raise that hand and say, I don't know Jesus. I need to know Him. Maybe you're here and you're one of those that's been hurt, disillusioned. And because of the disillusionment, because of the hurt, you find yourself stepping further and further away from God. And right now, if I was to ask you, are you as close as you used to be to God? Are you where you want to be with God? Have you let others push you away from God? Have you let your own disappointments push you away from God? And you want to make it right. You want to get back there. You want to go back. You want to get back in the fold like you were. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if I'm speaking to you today, would you lift up that hand? Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Help them, Father. Touch them in a very special way. Let them draw nigh to you, Lord. You gave a promise that you would draw nigh back. Maybe you're here this morning and you really didn't understand the necessity of church. Didn't understand how God wants to insulate you but not isolate you. He wants to let you know that church is a celebration and church is a place of education and fellowship. Today, with every head bowed, every eye closed, who would say, Lord, I want to make a new commitment to serving you, and a new commitment to work with the body of Christ. With every head bowed, every eye closed, we just put the hand up. I want to make a new commitment to you, Lord. I want to do something. I want to grow. I want to get out there. I want to grow. I want the Lord to just touch me and use. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. In the name of Jesus. Now, this altar is open. Whatever you have need of, whether it be a touch of God for your body, a touch of God for your spirit, a touch of God for whatever. You just want to talk to Him. You want to just recommit yourself to Him. I invite you right now. I invite you right now. I invite you right now to come. Say, Lord, Lord, I recommit myself to you. Lord, things are going to be different. God, things will be different. Lord, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father. Glory. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory. 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 There's an Emmaus walk coming up this weekend, and we have a bunch of ladies going from our church and from the area. I want us to pray for them, that God does for them what he's done for everybody else that's gone there. Experience hope and grace like never before. To have their eyes opened to what you have for them. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, touch these ladies. Enlighten them to what you have for them, and lighten the load for them, knowing that you're going to bolster their faith. And I ask you, God, to minister to them very powerfully in the name of Jesus. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. You're more than enough. And I thank you for it right now. And God, every person here right now, Lord, I thank you, God, for their determination and their wanting to be part of the body. I thank you, God, that you've got us. You've got the church in your hands. Your heart is dear and near to the church. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint, Lord, like only you can. Like only you can. Lord, you're awesome. You're awesome. You're awesome. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Tuesday night, we're still talking about the grieving cycle. So come on. You'll get some stuff that will be beneficial. And everybody here has had a loss. Everybody. I don't know of anybody that's never had a loss. And I don't know of anybody that's not dealing at this moment with a loss that you've had in your life, whether it be this week, last year, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you're still dealing with the loss. If anybody ever tries to tell you, don't worry, you'll get over it. No, that's not how it works. You learn how to deal with it. And to go through a grieving cycle correctly just means you remember with less pain. But you go through it. You don't get stopped in the cycle, which might be anger or disillusionment or get stuck in hiding. Instead, you go through it and you remember less pain. So that's all it will. Come on. I'm not sure how many weeks we're going to have of it, but it's going to be there on Tuesdays, and it's going to be awesome. God is awesome. And please, now you got some ammunition. Somebody says, why go to church? You got ammunition. Okay, load that gun and go. Don't do like Brother Haslip. Or you just go to church, you'll be another hypocrite. Don't do that. Use this stuff. Amen. God's awesome. All the time.
Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we've had to be in this your house today. And Lord, as we go through these doors, we ask that we take these lessons with us when we go out so that we can minister to others and give them the reason where they should be in church also. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.